Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Ayo gozaimasu. Oh, how's everybody doing today? A lot better than we deserve. Well, welcome everybody, especially the first time visitors. Welcome to OIC today. God bless you. Well, today we are going to continue our study. We're going to continue our study in 1 John as we've been going through the book of 1 John together. It's been a joy. Last week we spoke about joy. You guys remember? J is for?
Jesus.
O is for?
Others.
And Y is for? Ourselves. You. And so we want to be last. And we want Jesus to be first. We want to put others before ourselves because that's the model for real joy. Now, here in 1 John, today we are going to be talking about light. We're going to be talking about light. I'm going to give you a little science lesson, I guess, as we start off today. What exactly is light, right? What is light? Scientifically, light is electromagnetic radiation with a wavelength that is visible to the eye, which we know as visible light. So this is a scientific definition for you, for the light that we see. Now, the three basic dimensions of light are intensity, that's the brightness of the light, frequency, that's the color of the light, polarization, that's the angle of vibration. This is all science stuff, okay? And so, we know that light can travel faster than anything we have produced at the speed of 186,000 miles a second. And whatever that is in kilometers. The precise nature of light, though, is one of the unanswered questions of modern physics. Scientists can produce light. They can analyze light. They can use light. But no one knows how it came into existence. But those of us who believe in God and who know God, we know God made it into existence by a simple command. What was it?
Let
there be light. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. That's it. Don't have to figure it out. God said it. He meant it. There it is. Done. Now, the Apostle John, he declares that God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. See here in 1 John 1:5 as we begin our study, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. And so, this truth about God reveals many facets about the person of God. Although it doesn't cover the whole spectrum of the attributes of God, it tells us much about Him. It tells us a lot about God by declaring He is light. Notice, number one, light speaks of the glory, the radiance, the beauty, the wonders, the purity, the holiness of God. His glory, right? In the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was revealed and His glory shone so bright. It speaks of all these things. Also, light illuminates the darkness, as we all know. Now, in Psalm 119, 105, says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And we were learning that Jesus is the Word, right? And is God. So this all comes to play. Jesus said, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in what? Darkness, but have the light of life. And sadly, there are those who simply want to remain in darkness. They hate the light. They just hate it. I don't want to be in the light. I want to be in darkness. Those are the people we're trying to reach. Those people used to be us. We used to be those people in darkness. Now, in John 3:17, and we know what was John 3:16, the verse right before this, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you don't know that verse, you need to memorize it. That's your homework. But John 3:17, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, through Him, might be saved. He goes on. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And continuing, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that what? Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. You see, these people, I like to call them spiritual cockroaches. I don't know if that's right. Spiritual cockroaches. Why? Because they hate the light. They hate the light. I would never call somebody to their face a spiritual cockroach. Don't do that. Joseph said, no. But for those who hate the light, I would describe them as a spiritual cockroach because they hate the light. Now, why? Because it's our sins, you see. It's our flaws. It's our impurities. Those things are revealed by the light. And we don't want nobody to see those things. The Bible consistently illustrates this contrast between God as light and sin as darkness. It's a very common theme through the Scriptures. But there's another contrast here as well that we need to look at. It's the contrast between saying and doing. Notice, 1 John 1:6, as we continue. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Notice, if we say, if we're saying these things, it's pretty clear that our Christian life is to amount to more than just mere talk. For if we are living in sin, then our lives will contradict what our lips are saying every Sunday morning as we praise Him and making us hypocrites. As the old saying goes, and this may be a new saying for you, but in America we say, if you're gonna talk the talk, you've got to walk the walk. you're going to talk the talk, you better walk the walk. Okay? And that walk is towards Jesus Christ, as we will see. In other words, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Actions speak louder than words. Okay? Actions speak louder than words. Don't tell me you love Jesus. Show me you love Jesus. It's the same thing if I told Amy, I love you, Amy, but I'm over here committing adultery. What kind of love is that? I need to show her my love, not just tell her. And it's by my actions. Some may say, oh, but Joseph, I do have fellowship with Jesus. But you're getting drunk every night. Or, oh, I do walk with Jesus. Oh, okay, you're addicted to pornography though. You see, something's wrong here. If we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie. Uzo! And we do not practice the truth. This is a hard lesson. These are obvious contradictions. These are obvious. We all know these big sins, right? But what about when we are overcome by doubt, by fear, by depression, by anxiety? Are these dark or light? Are these things dark or are they light? Let me tell you, these things can be very dark. And Satan wants us to stay there. He wants us to stay there in these dark, depressed feelings that we can have. And that's darkness, folks. We so often find ourselves walking in darkness. Our countenance, our demeanor, our attitude reveals it to everybody. All can see. Some have even forgotten how to smile. Now I want to do something. Everybody, minasan, big smile and look to the person next to you and say, God bless you. God bless you. Minasan, dozo. God bless you. Yeah, good job. Some of you haven't done that in a long time, I imagine. No, nobody here, of course. But just in case. You see, darkness has overcome these people. Right? And it can overcome us too. Very easily. Listen. I understand there are times in our lives when we are sad. I understand. When we're depressed, when we're lonely, when we're fearful, when we're sick, when we're tired, etc., etc., etc. That's natural. That's called being human. We're not Jesus. Okay? I understand that. And granted, I feel that way all the time. So many times. But every day, my Nichi, week after week, month after month, year after year. How long will we walk in darkness? I'm going to tell you a story. I went on a hospital visit once that I'll never forget. An older lady was dying. In fact, she ended up dying the very next day. She was in a lot of pain. She couldn't talk. Okay? But when we had asked her if she knew Jesus, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Suddenly, her eyes lit up. And she grinned. And all of a sudden, with all the strength that she could muster, she lifted her hands to glory. soon after she was in glory. She was in glory. Do we have faith like that? In the midst of our problems, do I lift my hands with joy and look past the problem to glory? You see? I want a faith like that. You see, it isn't just the big, heavy sins. People think, oh, I'm not a sinner. I'm not committing these big, heavy sins. It's more than that as a Christian. It could be our perspective about life and our attitude towards the trials that keep us in darkness, you see? These things are just as dark. Darkness and light cannot exist in the same place. It just can't. It's a fact. If we are walking in the light, then the darkness has to go. It just has to go. And if there's a light and I'm in there in the dark, as soon as I walk out, the darkness has to go. That's it. Just walk in the light and get out of the darkness. If we're holding on to sin, or perhaps consumed by the trials of life, then light will be shut out. It will be shut out. And so will our witness for Christ. What do you mean holding on? Well, if this is sin, and I'm can't see because my focus is in the darkness. Bishop? Light! Get out of the darkness. Get out of the darkness. Understand, and this is important, that non-believers are watching our lives. Do they want what we have? Do they want me? Do they want the joy? I'm not talking about the sins. I'm not talking about the trials that we all struggle with every day. I'm not talking about those things. I'm sure they don't want those things. But I'm talking about what we learned last week. Do they see the joy that we have in the midst of our trials, in spite of our shame, because we're forgiven? So much joy there, folks. Or do they see us hating life, miserable, depressed? What do they see? Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Oh, I love this verse. Now, you may say, "Joseph, the darkness of my trials has consumed me. I don't have any light." Well, guess what, folks? Either does the moon. Either does the moon. But it sure shines pretty bright in the darkness, doesn't it? Why? Does it have any light of its own? Absolutely none. What happens? It's reflecting the light of the sun, you see. It's reflecting the light of the S-U-N, Son. And then so are we as Christians. To reflect the light of the S-O-N. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, onto the dark side of this world. This world's in darkness, folks. They need to see the light. To those who are walking in darkness, we are to be that light. Now, when we don't see the light of the sun reflecting off the moon, when don't we see? Well, it's when the world gets in the way. Right? When the world blocks out the sun, and the moon can't see the sun, if you will. Lunar eclipse or something like that. Hey, folks. Tomoko, I'm going to go off a little bit. Help me. The world sometimes gets in our way. And we can't see the sun. Get the world out of the way. So you can see the sun. When the world gets in the way, get the world out of the way. The world is always trying to block the sun. Get the world out of the way, guys. Get the world and the things of this world out of the way. So you can see the sun. The S-O-N. Son of God, and let His light shine upon you. You see? Now, Mark Twain said this. He said, everyone is a moon, I think you've heard this quote before, and has a dark side which he never shows to anybody, which he never shows to anybody. Okay? And you know what? This is very true. Very true. Our sins, our trials, the things that want to consume us and snuff out the light of Christ will always be there. Always be there. Right? But are they before us or behind us? That's the question. Before us or behind us? Illustration? Darkness. Before us. Darkness behind us. Which way are we walking? Towards the darkness or towards the light? Jesus wants to shine the darkness out from before you. Now, 2 Corinthians says this, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of who? Jesus Christ. Wow, amen to that. This is where light is found. Jesus. And now moving on, 1 John 1:7, notice, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Oh, it's a great verse. The New Testament continually calls the Christian life a walk. Describes our Christian life as a walk. This walk begins with a step of faith towards the light of Jesus Christ, our Savior. First step, towards the light, away from the darkness. Okay? So, as we saw earlier, if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. You got to walk in the right direction, okay? Otherwise, we're contradicting ourselves. This means to walk an obedient life. To walk in an obedient life without harboring known sin or resisting the conviction of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Okay? Now, we know that on this side of eternity at least, sinless perfection is impossible. None of us can be sinless. It's impossible. Okay? But yet, the longer we walk in the light, the more our sins will be exposed and put behind us. And we will sin less and less as we're being perfected by Christ. We're all a work in progress. None of us are finished. But we're being perfected. And this is part of the perfection, is walking in the light. Now notice, 1 John 1:7, back to this, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. As we walk with Christ, you see, as we walk with Him, we have fellowship with one another. With one another, like we're going to do today on the third floor. Have fellowship. This leads to a very important idea. If we do not have fellowship with one another in God, then we must deduct that one or both parties are not truly, completely walking in the light. Very logical conclusion. Somebody's not in the light. Okay? Now, to Christians who are in a right relationship with God, will also naturally be in a right relationship with each other. That shouldn't be that difficult, right? But, I know, it's always their fault, isn't it? It's always their fault. I'm right with God, but it's their fault, right? It's never our fault. But just remember, when we point our finger at somebody, we have three more pointing back at us. Okay? Somebody says, well, Joseph, that's why I point like this. Chigao yo. No, no, no. Three more back at us. We have three more pointing back at us, you see. That's the reality. And yes, perhaps they did something to us. Yes, perhaps they did. They hurt us. But what about us? How did we react? And just think about that. We're going to talk more next week about this. You're like, oh no, I'm not coming next week. I don't want to hear that message. We all need to hear that message. Now, well, let's go back. The Greek verb form that John uses here for cleanses us from all sin is in the present tense, not the future tense. So what does this mean? So as we walk in the light, we can enjoy the continual cleansing of Jesus. You see? It's continually. We need continual cleansing, you guys, because the Bible says we continually sin. All fall short of the glory of God. Alright? And so, we can do more than merely hope we will one day be cleansed. Okay? Because Jesus, what He did on us on the cross, for you and for me, I can be cleansed today. And it's a continual cleansing. Demonstrate, if I'm walking in the light and sin comes on me, darkness, it goes behind me. Sin is always coming on me. But if I just keep walking the light, black, dispelled. Dark, dispelled. Dark, dispelled. Now, if darkness comes upon me, and I turn my back on Jesus, it's going to stay there. And sometimes, we turn our back on Jesus. All you have to do is turn back to Jesus. And that darkness will flee. I promise. That's what the Bible promises us. It's a continual cleansing as we walk in the light. We can only come to fellowship with God by dealing with our sin problem through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only way. We have to deal with sin. Now, 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, if you want to deal with it, we got to deal with it. But if you say you have no sin, if we what? We deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Now, who was saying that they had no sin in John's day? Do you remember from the first day? The Gnostics. Good. The Gnostics. They were saying that their immoral life that they were leading, their style of life, wasn't sin because it wasn't their real spiritual selves, okay? They were saying it's just their already evil and corrupted flesh. And they couldn't corrupt it anymore. And there are still people all around us today saying these things. And this is a little review from chapter 1. What's wrong for you isn't wrong for me, right? Or that there are no absolutes. I might not be perfect, they may say, but I am a lot better than other people. You've probably heard that one. I'm definitely not a sinner. Sue me. I've never been convicted of a crime, right? They tell me in Nihongo, sumi means convicted criminal. I've never been convicted. I'm not a sinner. That's offensive. Yet John says this, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You may not have been caught by man, but God saw what you did. You see? When we start to believe our own lies and deceive ourselves by maintaining that we have no sin, then what we are doing is making God a liar. And Romans, as we know, let God be true and every man a liar. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This goes for everyone. Everywhere, every culture, there are no exceptions. Okay? But don't despair. Joseph, all this sin talk is pretty heavy. Don't despair. Oh, for Romans, for the wages of sin is death. Get it straight. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the good news. Okay? 1 John 1:9. Oh, if you want to memorize another verse, this is the one you should have next. John 3:16 for the world and 1 John 1:9 for you. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, glory. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's that simple. What does this mean to confess our sins? What does this mean? The word confess is from the Greek verb homologio, meaning to say the same thing or to agree with. That's all it means. We are to say the same thing that God says. When God, in His Word, says that the thing we did is sin, we need to get over on God's side and look at it and say, "You're right. You're right. I agree, Lord. It is sin." If God says that this is black, and I say, "No, God, it's white," I'm wrong. That's all there is to it. And I need to, I don't care what light is reflecting off it, I need to get where God's at and look at it and say, "You're right, God, it's black." But when I say something is white, when God says it's black, I'm wrong. And confession is simply come in agreement with God. He says, "That's sin. I agree. It's sin." And that is what it means to confess our sins. We agree with God. Instead of trying to justify why we did what we did. Stop trying to justify it. Just call it for what it is and repent from it. That's it. It's that simple. Just call it for what it is and repent. When we have confessed our sin, it means that we have turned from that sin. Right? Here's the sin. God says, "That's sin. Ah, you're right." And we turned from it. "You're right, God." You see? It means that we have said the same thing which God has said. Confession restores us to our Father. It restores our relationship with Him. Remember, we turn our back on Him, just confess and turn back to Him. And fellowship is right there. The prodigal son, he was right there waiting for us. Each time, waiting. That's it. That's all I have to do, Joseph? Yes. That is it. God's amazing grace that He has for every one of us. He can't wait to forgive us. But now, a warning. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that God's amazing grace should abound? Paul says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? You see, the problem is this. Sin will always, always bring about repercussions. Repercussions. Consequences, you see. Yes, you're forgiven. I'm forgiven when we confess. But the repercussions of our sin remain. They're going through the book of Galatians in the morning. I don't know if you got this far yet, but something to look forward to. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Don't think you're going to just get away with your sin. He'll forgive you, yeah. But here's consequences. just because we confess our sins to the Lord, it doesn't mean that we're going to avoid the consequences of our sin. You see? Numbers 32:23 says, "You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." It will track us down. And it will possibly cause very painful, long-lasting repercussions. Sin is bad. And it hurts not just you, but everyone around you. And that's why God doesn't want us to do it. But more so than that, notice, more so than the repercussions. Oh, I don't want to sin because I'm going to get in trouble. No, there's more than that. What does that sin say about your love and devotion to God? Like I said earlier, if I love my wife, Amy, but yet I'm committing adultery, what does that say about my love and devotion to my wife? You understand? It's more than just the consequences. She would have every right to divorce me. God forbid. First John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But notice, all unrighteousness. It doesn't matter how stained and dirty you become or have been. The blood of Christ will wash away all your sins. This is the promise. And oh, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, I want to continue, but I won't. Beautiful. The blood of Jesus can wash away our sins. Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Oh, though they are like crimson, they shall be as wool." It doesn't matter how stained and dirty your past is, folks. Doesn't matter. Your future is spotless. Your future is spotless. You don't have to mess it up. We haven't messed it up yet, you see. Our future is spotless. We haven't messed it up yet. And we don't have to mess it up. We don't have to mess it up. Now, here are three more verses I want to share with you this morning so you'd be encouraged with His grace. Micah 7:19, "He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." Amen. And next, we have Psalm 103. "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." Amen. And Lamentations, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." Amen. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. Amen. Or amen. God is faithful, even when we are faithless. is so faithful to dispel the darkness. Hold on to the promises of His Word, folks. Hold on to the promises of His Word. Don't be a spiritual cockroach. Don't be a spiritual cockroach hiding from the light of Christ. Walk in the light as He is in the light. Receive the amazing grace that God has extended to you and to me freely through the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sins. Wow. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much once again for Your love, for Your grace, for Your continual cleansing that You have in our lives. As we are constantly consumed by darkness, it's all around us every day, and it wants to consume us, and Satan wants us to stay there. But Lord, You want to dispel that darkness from our lives. You want us to walk in the light as You are in the light. Please, Lord, help us hold Your hand. Help us be led by Your Spirit out of the darkness. When that darkness comes upon us, Lord, help us just turn from it and look to You and get that world and these problems out of our way that we may see You and we may look to glory like that precious old saint back in the hospital bed. There's nothing darker than death itself. But yet, she didn't even see that. She saw Your glory, Lord. Help us have faith like that. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Arigato.